Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Drudge.
From all the dirty places, when you give them reverse Bukkake, you put your glaze on all their pretty faces. Well, I never knew what your vagina could do. I never thought I'd see so much cum spew, baby, from an Israeli Jew. Come on and rub one out, you squirt so good. Come on now, we'll make it squirt so good. Rub that clit and splooge on.
This is your announcer. This is your announcer Chuck Landington, welcoming you to the Metal Injection Livecast. Tensions with Iran are on the rise, or may be imminent. I think I speak for all of us when I say, Rob, please stop telling your I'm Russian, I'm Iranian, I'm in a hurry joke. Now is not the time for that brand of comedy. In fact, just to be safe, maybe just stop telling jokes altogether. Do it for your country, Rob. The Metal Injection Livecast starts now.
Rob tells jokes?
When he says do it for your country, which one does he mean?
America.
Oh, okay.
America is my country.
Which one's your country,
America.
Sid? Austria?
Yeah.
Or
Yeah,
sure, by the way,
Austria.
Not to be the public defender here, but Rob was born in this country and you weren't.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's why I asked him. Weren't you born in Austria?
Austria's general wasn't just killed with an airstrike.
That's true, too.
Neither
Rob.
Was America's. No. Unless
Yet.
We missed something.
Yeah.
Welcome to the live cast. It's Rob here with Noah.
Where?
Here. Sid.
Where?
Here.
Austria.
And 3D. Hi.
And it's the second Metal Injection live cast of 2020, episode 549.
We didn't discuss our New Year's resolutions last
I don't have
episode.
Any
episodes. No goals, no nothing that you want to do this year?
You can have goals, but they're not necessarily triggered by January 1st.
Right. Yeah.
Well, I guess any goals that may have started last year that you haven't accomplished and you'd like to accomplish this year?
We're still working on
trying to call us out here.
No, I'm just curious. I was thinking about it earlier today, and I was, you know, like everyone, I'm talking to my girlfriends about doing like a vision board party. We're going to put together vision boards. And I'm like, I haven't even thought about what I want to put on a vision board for this year.
Have you done vision boards for previous years?
No.
Can you explain what a vision board is?
A vision board is when you like put...
It's like a little bulletin board.
It's the thing that Oprah started from what Roland tells me. And you do an arts and crafts and you put your fantasies on a board and then they come true.
I don't know if that's a good idea. Yeah, I was going to say.
It's like, no.
I think it's, if I could translate.
Mine's going to be.
It's like a loose.
Explain it, Rob.
It's like a to-do list, but like a to-do wish list of like, these are things I want to accomplish this year. And some of them would be more like practical and some of them are like, you know, I want to more fantastical, like I want to be famous or whatever.
It's supposed to be that you visualize your dream and you see it in front of you on a board and then seeing it every day makes you not slack off on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit Oprah-y, I was going to say.
Yeah.
The one who talks to trees.
Yeah, I mean, I have a mental vision board. It's, you know, keep working out, which I'm doing. And,
mm-hmm.
like, not limit my food binging.
Not limit it or to limit it?
To limit it, yes.
Oh,
just
okay.
Like weekends.
You heard a not.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I was stuttering a little, I guess. And, I don't know. Then, like, some business goals, you know.
Like what?
Like.
Financial benchmarks for the website you want to talk about?
No.
He wants to buy metalinjection.com.
Oh,
finally.
The holding company.
Come through on this. Like, I've been saving up $85,000 USD.
Is that, oh, it went up to 85? It was 80,000.
It was up to like 125.
Inflation?
No, I mean, it went up to like 125, and then like another, a Livecast fan put in an offer for like 10 grand. They were like, all right, sure.
Yeah.
This guy is the worst negotiator because like he hounded you for 80 grand, he said, and you said no.
Well, you got to start high.
But then it goes up. Who goes up after the guy says no? You fucking idiot.
Well, theoretically, the value of the page has gone up.
But I understand that in theory, in an open market. But the one person who'd buy it said no, and you're going up. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Does Frank also get these emails? Like, is he playing you guys against each other?
No.
Like, well, Frank Godlove said he'd be okay with 75 grand. So what do you say, buddy?
It's not like we would personally buy it, like the business would buy it.
Yeah, but there's two people running the business.
Mm-hmm. Well, we both have to approve the purchase.
Have either of you been tempted?
No.
Who's more ready? Who's closer to saying yes?
I would say I am because I would be willing to pay like $3,000 for it.
Okay.
I don't even think Frank would be willing to do that.
Interesting.
Frank doesn't have a vision board because he's already doing so much stuff.
Yeah.
Nothing to put on the
board.
No,
Frank has a vision board, but like no space on it.
That's what I'm saying. All the stuff he's doing is in real life, so there's nothing to put on the board. He's just doing everything.
I'm trying to think of other vision boardy.
I want to go to Thailand. That's going to go on my vision board.
You and Deuterino together?
Well,
I do want to go to Japan this year.
Is this a reveal, Noah? Are you going to Thailand? Are you going to Bangkok with the...
What is any specific part of Thailand?
I would like to go to Bangkok, and then I want to go to... like southern Thailand, like Phuket.
Oh, fuck
and
it. Fuck it.
Not
fuck,
fuck
it. Let's
it's
go.
Phuket. I don't know. Deuterino.
What's in Phuket?
Deuterino. Like
beautiful beaches.
Oh, sort of go to like one of those
food.
Resorts or whatever.
I don't even want to do a resort. I want to do like more Airbnbs or like low key stuff. I don't want to be in a resort. And I want to eat like local food.
Like the really good pad Thai?
Yeah, like the real Thai food.
Uh-huh. You miss the real Thai food?
I miss the old Thai food. And then maybe even like, since we're already going to be there, to go to Japan as well.
Mm. Yeah, I was thinking of doing, my idea would be to like, how I framed it in my head before pricing out how insanely expensive this would be to go to Japan for like 10 days and then
Philippines for some sex tourism.
And then go to Hawaii for 4 days to like recover from the Japanese tour. Like just go to like a beach in Hawaii.
To like downshift to like English speaking Asian people and then back to just regular white people here. You don't want to, it's too much of a transition to go from Japan back to Brooklyn.
Well, I want to go to Hawaii. I've always wanted to go to Hawaii. And it's like, well, I'm already on that side of the world. And
find Jimmy Snuka's tombstone.
Huge ass flight. So might as well just pop in for the connection.
I said, yeah. Have
aren't
a layover
for,
a couple
yeah,
days.
Yeah, do a layover for
have some
days.
Spam.
You know, I'm not as grossed out by spam as I was a few years ago.
I've never had it.
It's just you've had if you've had a hot dog,
ew.
It's
no.
just loose hot dog meat.
No, I'm not like
ew.
Afraid of it.
Loose hot dog was also my nickname in high school.
Oh shit! Is that why you're going to Thailand or remove your loose hot dog? Cheap plastic surgery.
The surgery is much cheaper over there. Yes.
I love that Noah felt the need to follow it up with "I'm just kidding."
Because we were sure.
Because I'm not.
Well,
she has
and
to
I'm
cover it up.
About it.
Whole, Noah's coming out as intersex.
Mm.
Noah could have been referring to something else with the hot dog. Doesn't mean she has a penis.
No,
just a really
right?
long
well,
clip.
Well, it's a loose penis. Oh, let's suck up.
What, that grosses you out, Rob?
No, I just don't want to offend
feel
anybody.
Yeah,
Rob is not intersex positive now.
I'm very intersex
He's positive. Shaming.
Any intersex people, you have just as many rights as non-intersex.
See, Noah,
hot dog.
You have rights.
Rob is out.
Any travel you guys want to do this year?
I don't know. Whatever comes up. Oh, I'm probably going to go to Puerto Rico for the Mets series.
Oh,
they're
nice.
Playing there.
What? Where are they playing?
At the Marlins. Marlins home games.
I would recommend you rent a car while there. It's very cheap to rent a car. And go to El Yunque Rainforest. It's one of the... actually, I believe it's the only rainforest in the United States. Of America.
And do not wear Crocs when you walk around the rainforest.
It was...
discussed this. I'm over Crocs. I'm not wearing Crocs.
It was... It was incredibly beautiful when I went, and then I was very sad to learn that it was heavily damaged in the hurricane, but it looks like they've recovered a good bit.
From the paper towels that Trump threw out.
Yeah, it soaked up all the water.
That's good.
It's all right. Yeah, that was the best part. One other thing I wanted to mention about I went to Montreal over the holidays, and I forgot to mention this, but like the people were so nice to me in the hotel, obviously, because they're being paid very well to be nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I was like, I just kept wanting to be like, we don't have to have this pretense. It's cool. Chill. But it's like, no. Like, there's no way they could not have this pretense.
This was in the Ritz.
Yes. I was in the Ritz-Carlton.
Uh-huh.
And just to summarize again, I normally would never be able to afford it, but there was a ridiculous, like, half off or... You know, 60% off detail.
You sound like Noah doing a cover up for her intersex.
for my loose hot dog.
Anyway, I blew a bunch of money on some luxury. But so in the pool is in like a spa area. And so you walk in and there's an attendant there. And I swear the attendant looked like Groban. And I almost thought it was Groban. But then I was like, no, this guy looks like he's 22. There's no way.
He's from Canada.
Well, also, I think Groban is in Toronto, not Montreal.
Is he?
Montreal.
I thought he was West.
Montreal.
Not Vancouver?
No. Or maybe is that? Or maybe I'm completely wrong.
Like central, like Winnipeg somewhere.
Ottawa? In Calgary?
Let's just name it. Moose Jaw.
Mississauga?
Nova Scotia?
That's a province, though. City.
Yeah,
oh,
fuck you,
excuse
Rob.
Excuse me.
After all your bidet usage, you should know that by now.
It just confuses you.
But
with
it was just funny. It was
Canadian
geography.
I drove a guy who was like really trying to get my last name, and I was like, "Dude, don't worry about it."
Well, I was gonna ask, did you undress in front of him since you're going to the spa?
I mean, I guess I had a robe and I took it off, and I had.
But he saw your loose hot dog.
No, he did not. I was wearing.
You were disrobing in front of Groban.
And then there was some groping.
Oh,
no groping.
That's
Groban.
What you're paying for.
No, that's the Thailand trip.
Oh.
No.
I also want to learn how to snowboard.
Mm.
So vision boards, snowboards, any other kind of boards this year?
Cheese board.
Boardroom.
Well, you got to go soon. I mean, like, you only have the first few months, right?
There's places where there's snow year round.
On Saturday.
Well, also
that's how like, it's crazy how warm it's been in New York,
what
especially like coming. Like, even in Montreal, it wasn't like unreasonably cold. It was like the coldest it's been here was like the normal there, but I've almost felt like it should have been colder. I mean, I was thankful it wasn't.
See,
well, people, everyone's complaining about this global warming. I don't mind the warmer weather in the winter. It's nice.
Well,
it's
that's nice. What I'm saying. I'm kind of torn because it's like I'm enjoying that it's not that cold, but I know that it's because the world's gonna end in like 12 years.
Yeah.
But it has, we had one week where it was disgustingly cold, like 11 degrees or something, in November. I was like, oh boy, here we go. I was bracing for like a horrible winter.
Yeah, nothing.
And it was normal. It's like 40 every day.
It was similar last year, and then it starts to get really cold. The thing is that now it's just going to be colder longer.
Right. It's going to be cold through April or May. Yeah. That's the thing. We just don't have spring or fall anymore. It's just extreme winter and extreme summer.
Well, we'll see. I think it's just going to be warmer across the board and be warmer in spring.
Did somebody say board?
Yeah, sorry. Another board for you to keep track of.
Well, on the topic of climate change, actually, there was a big
online
debate.
Oh, really?
A noted climate expert, Meatloaf, chimed in. He thinks that Greta Thunberg, the teen activist, has been brainwashed into thinking climate change is real. The singer, 72 years old, said he feels for the 17-year-old, whom he thinks has been forced into her beliefs. I feel for that, Greta, he told Mail Online. She has been brainwashed into thinking that there is climate change and there isn't. She hasn't done anything wrong, but she has been forced into thinking that what she says is true.
Don't you hate that when somebody forces you to think what you're already saying is true?
It's very weird because it's like, I never, like, when I saw her give her speeches or whatever, she seems pretty passionate, and it forced is the opposite.
Yeah, by
of
who?
What
specifically,
like, forcing
who's
her. And it's like,
is
listen
it
to what she's saying. She's saying that, like, the planet is going to be ruined for her generation.
Yeah.
Like, she should be upset. So it's very weird. And, of course, it's a 72-year-old, someone that has what?
And it's Meatloaf.
At most 20 years left on this earth. Like, they're not going to feel the effects of this.
I'm looking at him like, let's be real. Not 20 is generous.
I have a question. When he made this statement, did he make it as Meatloaf or as his regular name?
Or as Bitch Tits from Fight Club.
He goes by Meatloaf. Like, it's not like he... Like, I don't even know his real name.
Eddie Van Halen.
R.I.P. a loaf.
No, he has a weird name, I think. Like a normal one.
Well,
normal
isn't
name.
He Pearl A Day's dad?
Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
So his last name is probably something A Day.
Yeah.
Damn it, I looked on Wikipedia, but I got actual Meatloaf.
It's
Marvin.
Yeah, Marvin Lee A Day.
He's from Dallas, Texas. Wikipedia says his genres are hard rock and heavy metal. Rob, can you confirm?
I could see why Wikipedia would think that.
Heavy metal?
Hard rock, yes. I mean, Bad Out of Hell is pretty heavy.
Wow.
Heavy metal meant a different thing, I feel, in the 70s than the connotation it has today.
I guess it's because, he had an album with the word hell in it.
Mm-hmm.
So just that
right,
imagery.
It's like dark
is,
imagery.
Makes
it's
it
got
metal.
A metal cover. Anyway, what's funny is Meatloaf's daughter chimed in, and I guess he has more than one daughter because this was not Pearl A Day. So I guess Greta responded to Meatloaf. Greta,
she
by the way,
changed her Twitter name to Meatloaf.
Killing it on social media. She responded saying, it's not about Meatloaf. It's not about me. It's not about what some people call me. It's not about left or right. It's about scientific facts. And we're not aware of the situation. Unless we start focusing everything on this, our targets will soon be out of reach.
And then she went on a rant about the negative ecological impact of making Meatloaf.
No, she did not. But then...
all the toxic gas that we release after we eat Meatloaf.
Meatloaf's daughter, Amanda A Day, shared Greta's response. And she said, I don't always agree with my father, as most people don't always agree with their parents. I applaud Greta's response to his criticism. And then when a Facebook friend asked her why her father would attack Greta in the first place, Amanda said, the reporter baited him for his opinion of her, which is fair. I'm sure, like, he didn't just openly give it. He was just asked about it. And then she says his response was twisted a bit, and Dad didn't have all the facts. But ultimately, he doesn't believe in climate change.
Yeah. Ultimately, he's still a jackass. So, there you go.
It is,
my dad, so I have to say
it is incredible to me how people could just reject this completely. Like, it's like, it seems so obvious to me.
Right.
But,
well, it's not just, it's, even if it's not obvious, you have the internet at your disposal. Just look up some motherfucking facts.
Well, when I try to look into like the quote unquote opposition to this, I think the like somewhat sane viewpoint, which I don't necessarily agree with, is like the dangers are being exaggerated to inconvenience us to spend money on things that we wouldn't normally buy, which I'm sure there might be a shred of truth to that. So, like, for example, like the plastic straw thing, like, I don't think that's going to change anything. Not using
doesn't hurt
straw,
but all right,
there's bigger things that need to be tackled.
If so, so in other words, that amounts to a conspiracy where, like,
right, there's like, I can agree with it to a point, but then it's like to say, to dismiss all of it,
right?
I don't even agree with it to a point. Like, I don't think who
I don't want to say agree with it. I could,
metal straw industry.
I can understand. I can understand having that viewpoint to a point.
But like, why are the climate scientists doing it? They don't sell straws. Like,
yeah.
What is the?
So people will keep funding their bogus research, Darren.
But also the other thing to me about it is like the straws. All right, and recycling your garbage. Like, I feel like that makes such a tiny dent in anything. Like, it's not, it's better to do it than to not do it. But like, corporations pollute, like they cause 75% of the pollution in the world. Like, why are we?
But where are those corporations located? Are
all
they
over the world, mostly in the U.S. But a lot
are
of
they
them
mostly in the U.S.
Yeah, I mean, U.S. based doesn't mean they have their factories here, but yeah, U.S. is responsible for a lot of it. But like, regardless of where they are, why are we like scolding people for using the wrong straw or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I feel like it's just like a.
There's, I think, issues on a macro level that should be addressed before going on the micro level of policing straw use and
very much so.
But in general, those I do understand the protest against single use plastics. Like, I feel so guilty using plastic bags and going to the store. I've tried to bring totes with me and whatever, as silly as it looks. It's just like, I don't need this bag. I'm going to use it for, you know, 3 minutes and then never use it again.
I just see
you
it as
the poop.
Well, I mean,
so
I do.
Say, is
I,
there an eco-friendly option for picking up dog shit?
I mean, I do reuse them for that, but you know.
No,
I
but I'm saying
to,
like the
there
they
there are
bags,
biodegradable
there's
poop bags
okay.
for dogs.
Yeah,
I also just think like that bag's made already. Like, you're not using it doesn't impact like.
But the less bags that are used, the less reproduction there will be of future bags.
I don't know. It seems like so many more important things to. Seems like
I agree with you, but it's more of a just like a mental
right,
like, OCD thing of like
I do it too. I agree with you, but I just like buffing out scratches on the Titanic. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the point? We're going down.
Yeah, it's true.
We're going to experience some form of catastrophic effects.
I feel we're already experiencing it in Australia.
Yeah.
But it's we're not brutal. Experiencing that.
We, the human race.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Sid doesn't know.
Well, no, I just, I don't want to say I'm experiencing the fires in Australia.
You're experiencing fires in California.
No, I'm not. I'm not there either.
Oh. Well, I was there when the fires
I'm experiencing tweets about it.
You experienced some hurricanes. We get more hurricanes than we used to.
Yeah.
Were you inconvenienced by the previous hurricanes like Sandy?
No.
No power outage or anything?
No.
Oh.
Sid is impenetrable.
Yeah. It's true. Like, I mean, what can you do to me? Oh, no, I have to miss work. What a tragedy.
Oh. What could you do to me? Your DVR wouldn't be functioning. That is a tragedy for
you. Wouldn't
you.
Have anything
you wouldn't
to
be able
erase.
To watch.
Most of that stuff's on demand now. I'll catch up. Don't you worry. I'm resilient.
But what
way.
Are you going to be doing at the moment? What
I
if it's
books.
Like 5 days?
With no power?
No power, 5 days.
I have books. Play with the cats.
Go to sleep earlier when the sun goes down.
Yeah. Sure. Time goes by faster when
Sid's
you're asleep.
Sid's a survivalist.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be with Sid when the world ends.
I could get by on very little because I already do. Bam.
How romantic.
Yeah. All right. Sure. I guess that could be viewed as romantic.
Mm-hmm. You're a minimalist.
Yeah.
How are we going to do the podcast if there's like a tidal wave and flood? How are you guys going to get to the studio?
I feel like Brooklyn has pretty good drainage.
Not really.
We maybe do an episode a couple days late, but
it rains for an hour and all the sewers overflow. What do you mean we have good drainage?
Not in Gowanus.
I mean, it hasn't been an issue yet. We're fine. We'll be fine. We'll be fine. There's Skype. We'll download Skype. We'll do it for tomorrow.
Climate change. We'll be fine.
I'm saying us.
Oh,
the world is fucked, but I think we'll be fine.
But we're on a peninsula.
All right.
So we're surrounded by water.
All right.
No, you didn't think
of levels
of rise. How we're going to get around when there's a tidal wave? Boogie board.
Yes!
Oh, my God. Another board.
Oh,
board number four.
Boogie board.
Put that on your vision board and smoke it. Last week we talked about Gene Simmons and his very unique way of eating cereal. He puts ice cubes in his cereal.
I was very offended by that segment. I'm Gene Simmons.
Oh, we have Gene back in the studio. So
I'm calling from Israel. It's very clear. Great connection.
Thankfully, the fine people at TMZ tracked down Gene Simmons and got to the bottom of this.
They are very,
Harvey Levin.
Very annoying. Stalkers.
Here is some great audio.
Oh. Gunshot. Mr. Simmons, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm deliriously happy.
Oh, Gene, you know, you have... I'm glad I caught you today because you have set the internet on fire.
I did no such thing. I was fucking having cereal for breakfast. And
hold on one second. We got a call at 213 Wide Nut. That's 213-943-3688. Gene Simmons, is that you on the phone? Ah, we lost them. You didn't have to hang up. We could have just talked to you.
And my daughter was always snooping around. We were up in Canada.
Okay.
She asked me, Dad, what are you doing?
Right.
Said, what am I doing? I'm having goddamn cereal. That's what I'm doing. But, Dad, you're putting ice cubes in
right.
cereal. Who wants lukewarm milk with your cereal?
Right, right. No, I understand. You know,
why was it lukewarm?
Yeah, I don't know. Milk should be refrigerated, should it not?
He left it out. That's what happened. Eating curdled fucking milk.
Oof. But you've created some controversy online. There was some debate about this.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense because Kim Jong-un and and the rest of the world and Mr. Putin and all the rest of that, that's not controversy.
Right, yeah,
what
exactly.
I have for breakfast and whether there's ice in it or not is...
frame a coherent sentence whatsoever.
He's trying to have it both ways. He clearly posted that tweet because he wanted people to talk about it. And then now he's scolding people for talking about
it. Also, he's scolding people. Like, it's not like this TMZ person had to be like, hey, Gene, do you want to do a quick video about your cereal thing?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Let me just run down. Pretend like you're walking up.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't happen. Like,
how dare you? That's not how they do it.
Of course it is.
Yeah. They follow them with the camera and they ask them questions as they walk along, but they keep seeing the same TMZ reporter, so they become friendly. We have a guy from TMZ outside of Sirius, and I think he does the same thing.
Has
seen him in action.
Has he ever bothered
you? Huh?
Has he ever bothered you? Maybe thought you were Lady Gaga?
No.
She didn't have the meat dress on that day.
Tomorrow, when
you know, Lady Gaga wears other things besides the meat dress.
Well, just saying.
Tomorrow, you walk out there, you tell him you're Lady Gaga, and you have some serious thoughts about Greta Thunberg.
And cereal with ice cubes in it.
Get some of that meatloaf action for yourself.
Meatloaf action.
Yeah.
Get a loose hot dog and meatloaf action.
Meatloaf action was your nickname in high school.
But is Gene okay? Like, I feel like he's...
No.
He just sounds a little Alzheimer-y, you know? Talking about Kim Jong-un, Putin.
This is his humor. This is his dumb humor he's like... I think the point he was making is like there's so many important issues, but people care about me, Gene Simmons, putting ice in my. It's like, well, don't tweet it.
It's just he almost can't speak the English language. It's like,
and also, it's like, I love that Gene Simmons is saying, like, oh, people care about the most mindless things. To put out a fucking reality show. You're giving people mindless things to care
also,
about.
But also, it's fucking TMZ. The only way they'd care about Kim Jong-un is if he had a nip slip. Like, it's not like it's CNN coming up to you asking you about... Though maybe they did also. But, I mean, it's TMZ. This is all that they do.
Right.
So,
Kim Jong-un has very nice nipples. he would look great in a Kiss bikini.
I think there's another video of him with ice and
Kim Jong-un.
Oh, fucking gunshot.
Look at this, Jimmy. Is this stereo?
Oh, my God.
It's an oversized bowl of, like, mini wheats and a large bowl of ice cubes.
Okay.
Oh, you guys are funny.
Look at that.
Holy.
See, Gene.
And here's the next.
And they also gave him a bunch of Splenda.
Who is they?
The restaurant chef, waiter, not the chef. The chef, the cereal chef.
No, wouldn't if you like to try his cereal?
Okay.
No, it was
wow. I will try. I will absolutely try.
Oh,
thank you.
Oh, my God.
All right.
Oh, dear. Stupid.
But really, right, though, shame on that TMZ reporter. I feel like there should be a rule that if you spot Gene Simmons in public, you should kick him in the nuts.
Sure.
Not ask him a question.
Why?
That's a lot
of
human garbage.
You can't hit him in public. Yeah. That's not realistic.
I mean, well, it's happened before. People get assaulted all the time.
We can codify it into law, is what he's saying.
Yeah,
it would be.
Yeah, it should be a rule.
Come here, Gene.
It's like what? The punch buggy thing, except it's punch Gene Simmons.
I am not a Volkswagen.
There probably is a Kiss-branded Volkswagen. Don't give them that idea.
Great idea, sir. Too late. The horse has left the barn.
Should we hear Gene Simmons talking about drugs?
I heard you said that rock and roll stars should end their fascination with drugs.
I've never been higher drunk in my life.
Oh, that is too bad. They do captions. But never mind.
What do you call it when the TMZ of metal plays actual TMZ?
I don't know. What do you call it when the TMZ of metal plays actual TMZ?
It's like Inception.
What's the TMZ? Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Slam goat.
So before the show started, I just, you know, like I like to check Frankie Palmieri's Twitter.
Oh, no.
Oh, thank God. Is he doing okay?
First of all, it's private.
Oh.
So I have to, like, go into my thing.
You can make it. You can become a Patreon member and give him $75.
Yeah, if you give him $50, he'll add
it. Well, it wasn't actually through Patreon. It was just like through DM.
Right. It's through Frankie on it.
You can Venmo him.
You just give him $75 and he talks to you.
He had any movie with cute puppets and secret doors. I'm locked in. Aw. But anyway,
No, did you just awe Frankie Palmieri?
No, I was being sarcastic.
Oh, okay.
So he
kind of like a very loving awe.
He linked to this podcast that he was on. It's like this nerdy gaming podcast.
Okay.
And it's just him and like these two nerdy guys sitting in a room talking about video games. And I was trying to listen to it, there's nothing really to discuss except like how like nerdy and lame it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought I would bring that up.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Pasadena or whatever.
What?
Did they mention Robert Pasadena on this show?
No.
Cause the guy was playing as Chun-Li and he did a certain move and it reminded him of Robert Pasadena from the Temple days.
Somebody on our Facebook said that they met Frankie Palmieri recently and asked about Robert Pasadena.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
So you pretended not to know what they were talking about?
That was Melissa, I believe.
Yeah.
Oh.
She's called our show.
Yep. Before. And what was the end of that story?
She took a photo with him and mentioned in her caption that
I'm trying
to
find it.
Actually, Rob asked her in the comments. Did she mention the Robert Pasadena story? And she said she did mention it, and he didn't remember.
Yeah, right.
He doesn't know what he said. He didn't know who I was.
But you said it on your show, dipshit.
Yeah, like, he doesn't listen to his own podcast. He knows better.
He's just lying. Just own it, motherfucker.
Blessed Melissa.
Yeah, she did a great job. We might have to do another diss song here if he keeps acting up like this.
He now actually needs the free publicity. Let's not do him that favor. I just want you to interview him again, and then in the video, introduce yourself as Robert Pasadena and see if he reacts.
I don't think he will.
He's going to be like,
I
knew
get
I
the joke.
All right, he won't.
Like, oh, yeah, that is how you pronounce it. Cool.
But he might, and here's why, because he knows your name is Robert Pezbani, so he probably consciously said that to pretend he didn't know who you were. So he'll remember doing that. Like, maybe, he'll remember that it's a lie.
Maybe you introduce him as Frankie Palomiri. Throw that shade right back at him.
Or whatever.
Or Pasadini, whatever.
What?
All right, where's that dick?
I wonder what his takes are on jury selection for Harvey Weinstein this week.
I'm not defending Harvey Weinstein at all. But
if the primary lawyer backs out, Frankie's ready.
Hey, I like it. But he watched Law and Order a bunch of times.
The Me Too movement is bullshit.
God.
I still can't figure out what it is Louis C.K. did wrong.
That might be my favorite. More than the Harvey one.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What's this?
DNA. Like,
oh, no,
kind of
never mind. That's the whole story about Rob.
I mean, that.
It's a great show. I missed that show.
It is.
Yeah, it really was. It really provided us so much.
We should keep an eye on that page and see if he ever pops back up with another episode.
Speaking as a male, you know.
That's all you need to know.
You know.
Whatever he says after that cannot be good.
No.
It's just like, people always get on Harvey Weinstein, but, like, what good can come after that? Once you said but to that.
But have you seen The English Patient?
Yeah, I was going to say. Miramax, man.
I don't know if The English Patient was a Harvey Weinstein joint, but it feels like it was.
Seems like
it. Yeah.
I'd believe it.
I just checked no new podcasts.
Oh, you could go Pulp Fiction. Let's say that.
Mm.
Pulp Fiction.
Mm. I don't really like Harvey Weinstein, but Pulp Fiction.
Did you, speaking of Harvey Weinstein and Pulp Fiction, did you see Ricky Gervais?
Oh,
at the Golden Globes
so
monologue?
Good.
I really did not want to enjoy that because I really don't like Ricky Gervais.
I love the jokes. I was annoyed with the delivery.
Yeah. I totally agree. Me and Rob talked about this offline. Yeah.
Look, he's asleep. He's
well,
asleep.
Just like his whole thing, like, I don't care. Oh, shut up. Oh, I said it. It's a joke. Relax.
It's my last time.
That's the way
this.
He talks. What's
They're not bringing
that?
Me back. Say fuck it.
It seems very forced. It doesn't seem like.
Yeah, I don't think it's a whole shtick. Like, it's not your last time. You keep coming back every time they ask you. Stop pretending to hate this.
Right.
You could just say no and not do it if you hated it.
And it's
why? He got to plug his Netflix show.
Did
right,
it?
Exactly. But that's
wait, the, when? I don't remember.
But that's
that.
The point is that he's doing it for a reason, like for publicity.
Yeah. Sure.
He's acting
why not?
Like he doesn't give a fuck.
He has a Netflix show?
Yeah, The Afterlife.
Yeah.
It was in his monologue.
Oh, I didn't know that was his show. I had no idea what he was even. I'd never
awesome
even heard of it.
It's really good.
It's on Netflix.
Oh.
Check out.
But even still, like, if he really didn't like it, if it was such a bad time for him, he wouldn't do it. So I don't want to hear you whining about
know,
how
but,
horrible it is.
But he did it.
Feel fake.
But he, like, berated everyone.
That was great.
No, that was good.
That part
was good.
Was great.
So what if he used it because it could have been a platform for that?
To berate people?
Okay.
But like, he's a part of that.
But
he's a part of that, though. So there's a hypocrisy there.
Yeah.
Like, he's calling people, like, there was a part where he was like, oh, don't do a political rant because you don't know what you're talking about. But, like, he has his political platform.
Yeah, he just said he's a fucking transphobe. Oh, he does his whole, even beyond that, though, like, he's
very much for, like, animal rights and all that, which it's, like, good cause. I'm not knocking that. But
a lot for animal rights.
Well, let's play a little bit of his monologue here. We don't have to play the full
seventh annual Golden Globe Awards, live from the Beverly Hilton Hotel here in Los Angeles. I'm Ricky Gervais. Thank you. You'll be pleased to know this is the last time I'm hosting these awards, so I don't care anymore. I'm joking. I never did. NBC clearly don't care either, fifth time. So, I mean, Kevin Hart was fired from the Oscars because of some offensive tweets. Hello? Lucky for me, the Hollywood Foreign Press can barely speak English. And they've no idea what Twitter is. So I got offered this
Robert
gig by
De Niro, love that joke.
So let's go out with a bang. Let's have a laugh at your expense, shall we? Remember, they're just jokes. We're all going to die soon, and there's no sequel. So, yeah, remember that. But you all look lovely, all dolled up. You came here in your limos. I came here in a limo tonight, and the license plate was made by Felicity Huffman. So, no, shush. It's her daughter I feel sorry for, okay? That must be the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to her. And her dad was in Wild Hogs. So,
I thought that was
lots
a good
of
joke.
Big celebrities here tonight.
You can
I mean,
start,
legends,
the good stuff is
icons,
coming up. This part,
yeah.
Really
yeah. This table alone. Al Pacino, Robert De Niro. But,
are you really for all 7 minutes? Or
no. Big year for
when
Peter
he made
Palmer,
the
movie.
When he made the joke about Martin Scorsese being short, that was a good one. I like that one.
Also calling out Apple,
leaving
and then
yeah,
and then like
good.
Saying don't
two
come up
posts.
Here when you guys support all these platforms that sponsor like. Sweatshops and all that.
But the
I
Apple
did like
though,
the line about how like if ISIS had a streaming mm-hmm. service, we'd be calling your.
Yeah, that was good. But Apple, he's on fucking Disney Plus. Like, what is he talking about Apple for? He's the same. He did the same exact.
Right.
Thing.
That was the kind of conceit of it where it's like, well, you're just as bad here. So what are you? I don't know.
I don't think
weird.
That was the conceit. I think he was saying that they're bad and
right.
he's not. And
yeah.
he's
he wasn't
no,
saying he's
he,
not.
He
didn't say that.
Himself.
That's how it just, came off to me.
Self-righteous for sure.
Yeah, very much. It was all right. Was...
My favorite joke was later on, and it wasn't in the monologue. It was when he was introducing Sandra Bullock,
mm-hmm.
and he did the Bird Box joke. It's like this next presenter was in a movie where you had to keep your eyes closed and look away, or in order to survive,
mm-hmm.
and just like you people did with Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah, that's good.
And then they all groaned, and he's like, "You're the ones that did it, not me." Groaning yourselves. Mm-hmm. That was good. That was my favorite moment.
Like
but I'm just like the whole in-between thing where he just acts like he doesn't want to be there and stuff. Just, I don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need you like doing a fucking tap dance either, but like,
right.
you're acting too cool for school while you're at school. Like, just, then you keep coming back to school.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't need that.
Well, this is the last time, Sid.
Yeah.
Not coming back again.
I don't care. I never did.
I'm just kidding. I never cared. I don't care about anything. Oh, I care about one thing. I care about saying that trans women are really men.
Did he really do that?
Oh, this whole last stand-up was about that.
It was like, I want to be a toilet.
I just declared myself a bear or whatever. You know, I'm a bear and I like to scratch my butt because I'm a bear and a monkey.
Yeah, that's, it's like 10 times worse than the Dave Chappelle
stuff. Oh, the Dave Chappelle formed it into jokes that were actually funny in spite of the fact that they were disgusting. I thought some of them were stupid. But, I mean, Dave Chappelle's actually really funny. Like Ricky Gervais, I've never thought his stand-up was any good.
No, yeah, he made some good TV shows. The stand-up is just you'll love this, Darren. Ilana Glazer from Broad City put out a stand-up special mm-hmm. on Amazon this week, and I had to turn it off halfway through. It was horrendous.
Oh, really?
Well, she's not a stand-up comedian, so once again, this is like a TV comedy mm-hmm. person who, like, their show stops and like, well, I need to keep making money off of my name.
Right. Yeah, and Amazon's like, we need content
yeah.
here, Ilana Glazer.
I'll just go in. People like me. They'll show up just because it's my name.
Did it get reviews similar to what you
I
just
haven't
said,
read
or?
Any of the reviews. I have no idea.
I did see on the trailer that people were like, this is the trail. This is supposed to entice me. And it really, like, I watched like 10 minutes.
Well, what's
like,
an example of that? What was so bad about it?
Here, well, let's play the.
Oh,
let's
God.
Play the,
why did I ask?
It's I feel like if I asked you to write what you think a 1 hour Ilana Glazer stand up special would be, that's what it is.
Oh, God. Scared. Hold me.
Lots of attempts at cheap pops. Like, the biggest applause lines are just...
Well, the thing that kind of, immediately confused me was that the show starts, like, you know, there's music playing, she comes out, and the intro, like, is like an extended... She's, like, dancing for, like, 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Dancing?
Okay.
What
yeah.
kind of dancing?
Like the song
like
is playing, like,
dancing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ilana Glazer! And
okay.
everyone's like, yeah,
dance.
Yeah, and everyone's like, hey... Hey, hey, and she's just keeping it going. She's keeping the pop going and,
it's
like, dancing and, like twerking and, like, to a really, like, it's like, all right, let's start it. Like, I actually started scanning to get to the...
Well, she only had, like, 45 minutes of material, and they gave her an hour.
Well,
a...
no. Well,
so,
Rob turned it off even quicker than I did.
There
so I
are
she
a lot of differences between Ilana
Which one is Ilana Glazer?
The curly hair one.
Okay.
Sure. You are going to be shocked as well as impressed. Homophobia is the lamest, most transparent form of hate I can think of. When someone's homophobic, they're just admitting they think about gay all the time.
It's not a joke.
Yeah. It's just preaching to the choir.
Yeah, clap there.
Like, yeah, yes, yes.
Oh, this wasn't even the bad joke that I saw. They must have multiple trailers for this. Because there was one about her, like,
about
like baby boomers, which, again, like, I agree with the...
Yeah, but I'm not watching stand-up to agree with somebody. Like, I can just read a political forum for that.
Yeah.
I want to hear fucking jokes. I'm happy to hear jokes that are opposite of my... but they're usually not funny.
Yeah.
Like, conservative and jokes like that, punching down type shit isn't funny, but I'm open to it. Like, if you want to make a joke, it doesn't need to agree with me. I'd be happy to disagree.
Yeah, but
I was honestly like a little bit. First of all, I want to say I'm touched that we're talking about someone from Broad City and that we're all on the same page. I'm not even joking. Like, that actually makes me feel good. I feel like camaraderie right now.
It's That's sort awesome. Of like when Conor McGregor tried to box Floyd Mayweather. It's like, this is not your sport.
Right.
You're great at one thing, but.
And you know a lot of funny people, but it doesn't mean that you could do stand-up.
You should have asked them to write the jokes for you.
I also think I was actually pleased to see, like, when their last season of that show came out, like, I think people were coming around to where I was.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw a lot of...
I didn't see the last season because I have cable.
I saw a lot of stuff that was like, wow, I really like this show, but it's just why they should have ended it, like, a year ago or whatever. I wanted to, like, I sort of felt like I was in a Twilight Zone movie where I was like not the only sane person and everyone else loves this show, so I would seek out like reviews of it and stuff.
I liked the last season, but this is just clearly her trying, like, her agent was like, well, you just go on a stand-up tour. And she's like, but I'm not a stand-up comedian. You'll figure it out. You're a performer.
She was doing like events where she was inviting like political people and, you know, like
who
was comedians. I don't remember exactly, but she was talking about like politics and stuff, and it was kind of like a Q&A with the audience and all that. So
You can't really put that out as like a comedy special.
Yeah,
so.
I agree.
Yeah.
By the way, I love your agent character.
Yeah.
Just go and do stand-up, see?
Yeah.
It's great,
the kids
see?
Love it. You do get on the Twitter, you tell them, you do a TikTok.
Yeah. You just twerk a little bit for the first 17 minutes.
Filibuster with a sexy dance.
That's give them what they really came for.
So that was disappointing.
You go up there, you do a little bit of the Broad City, see? Then you go and you do a little bit of the twerking, see? And that's all you got to do. You don't need any new material. Materials for losers.
And Amazon paid for it, so God bless.
Sure, it did well.
Yeah.
You got that money.
Yeah.
I don't begrudge anyone getting money. Go for it. I mean, I have to like it.
But I so rarely turn something off halfway through.
That bad, huh?
Yeah. And I was like, I was ready to turn this off 20 minutes ago. I was like, man. Yeah, rough. I really wanted to like it. And yeah, there's just nothing.
Speaking of wanting to like it, I saw the Joker movie finally.
I know.
Yeah, I did too. And
won the Golden Globe.
I thought that was the most overhyped movie of all time. Like, I'm curious if I went to see it when it first came out, without the buzz, if I would have the same disdain for it. But
disdain, wow.
Not like disdain. I don't want to say like it affected me that much, but I was just like, it was such an eye roller. And again, I feel like it's out now. It's everywhere. You can stream it so we can talk about it. Did you guys like it? Yeah, we're going to talk a few.
I liked it. I did like it, but I would agree with you that the hype was a bit over.
So out of
justified.
5 stars, what would you give?
3.5. 3 to 3.5.
I would give it 2.5 stars.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Agreed. It was like a 49% trash for me.
Well, here's how I would sum it up. I would say that it's really well directed. It's beautiful cinematography. Joaquin Phoenix is fucking great in it. All the performances are really good. But it's just not saying anything. It's just a rehash of shit.
It's nothing.
Done.
Yeah. It's
a movie that thought it was way more profound than it was.
Yes. And here's what I'll say. I will say the photography was good, mm-hmm. but the cinematography was like trying to be an art house film when it's like
lots of slow motion.
Fucking, this is the Joker origin story. Like, relax, you know. Like, I think Christopher Nolan, like, as much as great as those Batman movies are, kind of ruined it. Like, in the sense of like he set this blueprint of like, oh, you can make like this real gritty version of a thing, and everyone's kind of like aping it, but doing their own twist on it.
Not everyone. Marvel isn't.
Marvel is doing their own thing. Yeah. You're right. But like, the part of the movie, like I didn't mind the beginning, like how it kind of established that he wasn't, you know, his social worker is being cut, like the that kind of stuff, that was fine. Where it really started to annoy me was how they tried to like backdoor make like a Bruce Wayne plot.
That was unnecessary. That was fan service.
Yeah, and that was just like, oh god, like it was just like, oh, this is supposed to be an art house film, and it's like, this is how Batman. It was like, oh, get out of here. Get out of here! Go home!
I did like the fact that you see, you know, the Joker is supposed to be really the, I don't want to say hero. He's like the anti-hero of this story. He's the protagonist.
Yeah.
So you see the same Batman origin story with the perspective that really Batman's a fucking asshole, and he comes from a family of fucking assholes.
Well, this movie doesn't establish him as an asshole.
The movie establishes how Batman grew up, though,
yeah,
and in his environment, and how he became to be an asshole, which if you really watch the Batman movies, Batman is a fucking asshole.
Right.
And I like that this sort of functions also as a more honest Batman origin story at the same time as it's a Joker origin story. I like that about it. I mean, not that they've delved that deeply into it, but I love Batman's father's performance in this. It's like, he doesn't even have that big of a role.
The whole thing where he goes to Wayne Manor, that whole scene, to me, it was just like, ugh.
Well, first of all, he would have been arrested.
How is he fucking talking to Bruce Wayne?
He didn't just talk to him. He stuck his fingers in his fucking mouth.
Right, yeah. Like
a 9-year-old boy. Hey, let me stick my two fingers in your mouth.
Right.
And pull it elastically.
So it was like, get out of here! Like I'm supposed to buy this?
No,
but you could also be like dramatic, like you're supposed to be scared of the Joker. Right. And it's like, fuck you.
But you can also argue that, I mean, he's imagining this because the film clearly sets up where it blurs the line where you're watching something. You never know if he's actually doing it or if he's imagining it or what.
What was he imagining?
He imagined the whole relationship with the girl that lives in his building.
Oh, did he?
He beats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they revealed it later.
Yeah. Okay.
That one was explicit.
I was a little tuned out by the end, so I might have missed that.
And he also, in the beginning, like, he has the whole fantasy where he goes to Robert De Niro's show, and he's in the audience. And Robert
De Niro's
like, oh, I'm just, I see you as my son. You know, he's like,
yeah.
He idolizes
the that I do. Yeah, right. When he's in the hospital with his mother.
But they set those up as like little like signposts, and then I feel like a lot of the other things you're supposed to call into question too, like, is he really doing this? Mm-hmm. Did he really shoot those guys in the train and all this stuff? Like, how much of this movie is actually in his head? I think there's like little. That's why I love the cinematography, is because there's little visual cues, like when these crazy things are happening, when they're not real. Like, nobody's really looking at him. Like, they, or very few people are looking at him. And when they are real, he's influencing the audience. He shoots Robert De Niro in the face. The audience runs screaming. Like, you know, that's actually something that's really happening.
Right.
But when it's not happening, like, he's being ignored by his background. That's how I feel. Mm-hmm. You can tell.
I did love the Robert De Niro scene. I thought that
very tense. Very tense and good. It was like a Safdie brothers.
Well, it was the king of comedy.
Yeah, it was the king of comedy. Yeah. I feel like it was a little bit heightened. Skin Comedy is a great film, but I just feel like that scene.
Yeah, Scorsese's no Todd Phillips.
Right. I don't hate Todd Phillips.
The thing was, like, there was a moment in the movie where I was just like, all right, if you want to be like a high level, high minded movie, you can't give me a fucking scene where a little person can't leave a room because he can't reach the lock on the door. Like, fuck out of here with your little short person jokes in your fucking high minded fucking dramatic movie. Fuck out of here.
Man.
That was ridiculous.
I have to disagree with that. I thought that really worked well. I thought it's in the Joker, like,
dark,
you know,
humor
motif, you know?
It just felt a little too cheap. I don't know.
They're trying to show that the Joker is like a hack comedian. He was a real hack comedian.
Yeah.
And then that became his evil persona, that he does the hand buzzer, and then he shoots you in the
but
face.
But this wasn't like anything he did. Like, this was the scene where,
yeah,
he like kills the guy, the little person walks in on it.
Yeah.
And
it's not that he did it,
yeah,
but it's just that you're seeing
that
the Joker's
world
humor.
Yeah.
It's like the opening of the door of his, you know, he's,
yeah,
realizing that my life is a comedy, he says. So, like, my,
yeah,
life is a comedy, so now everything in his life is a fucking comedy.
Oh.
Yeah. I liked it.
People applauded at the end of the movie when I saw it.
That's, no, I didn't do it. I don't
like,
ever
what?
Do that.
Oh,
I don't even do that when it's a great,
yeah,
movie.
No. It's like people applauding when a plane lands.
No, this movie had a lot of serious flaws.
Wait, where were people applauding?
At the end of the movie. Joker.
Oh, right. Right at the premiere. There was like a 7-minute standing.
No, but I'm saying when I saw it. The movie ended.
Where'd you see it, Alamo?
Alamo. And a couple of people behind us applauded.
Oh, shut up. Well, you know what? I could understand that, because I feel like it would be those comic book fans that are like, you don't understand. This is high art. This is high art. You don't understand,
yeah,
what you're...
Really,
and it's like, and then like, now they see it. It's like, oh, finally someone recognizes the high,
yeah,
art that is comic books,
yeah,
or whatever.
I thought it was a very well-made movie. It was enjoyable. It was entertaining.
Not very deep, not,
no,
as thoughtful as it wants to be.
Not at all deep, I thought. And like, it was fine. And it was like, if you like those kind of movies, but it's like, you don't need to see it. There's not, your life will be the same with
inessential.
And
yeah,
even the comic book fans don't need to see it, because,
yeah,
it's not canon to anything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not canon to anything. It doesn't change any other story. And they outright said it in press conferences and stuff. Like, this is not a Batman movie.
I think that's the other thing that kind of made me go in with a bias, was that whole Todd Phillips press tour about,
oh,
how,
yeah,
like, you can't make jokes nowadays with woke culture and all,
shut
this
up,
stupid shit, because it's,
yeah,
like, oh yeah, the
I'm
Hangover
not gonna do comedies anymore,
cause... high comedy that you can't do anymore, it's so controversial. No, did you see the Joker?
I did.
Movie? What did you think of it?
It was okay. Like, it was, there were parts that I liked, and then there were parts that annoyed me.
What did you like about it?
I mean, I saw it a long time ago, so it's hard for me to remember specific scenes, but, like, I felt like it had too much, like, social commentary on what's going on today, and that was kind of like, I just, like, don't want it in everything that I watch.
And also, it didn't really have a point of view about it, I felt like. Like, what are you really saying about what's,
right,
going on today?
Right. Who are the bad guys?
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I just wanted it to be a story about the Joker, and not about what's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't like that. I thought Joaquin's acting was great, but like when he would start having those like laughing fits and all that, it got kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I sat through it. I didn't walk out of the theater, so I guess it was good enough. But I would also rate it 2.5 out of 5.
Have you walked out of theaters? Do you
I
do
have,
that?
I have. I don't remember the name of the movie though. A long time ago.
It's been a while. Okay.
But I don't really go to movies because I don't like the experience. And I like the option of turning the channel if I'm not into it.
It's fair.
Did you have that?
But what I loved most about going to see the Joker is I went to see it in Middletown, New York.
Oh, boy.
At the at like the AMC theater or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was empty, maybe like 4 other people.
Nice.
And I had a chair that reclined.
Ooh.
And brought my feet up.
Ooh.
Oh, like you were laying down?
Leather chair. And I got like I had a thing for my popcorn. It was just a very nice,
wow,
movie.
I have to give me the address of this theater. So
you're
going, nice,
to travel 2 hours to Middletown, New York to watch?
For luxury?
Yeah. And they had like those butter machines for the popcorn. I like when they give you the bag of popcorn, you can put your own butter.
Butter it yourself.
Yeah.
And it was like a continuous flow. It wasn't like one that like
drip,
and stops.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I had my very buttery popcorn.
Rob salivating.
And
I'm gonna go right down the middle.
Very nice conditions. So I enjoyed that.
Sweet.
So it could have been any movie at that point. You could have been watching Cats.
Oh God!
I wouldn't sit through that. I don't like musicals.
I kind of want to see Cats for the,
yeah, no,
like the train wreck of,
no,
it. Well, not anymore now, because they apparently the CG was so bad that they like there were fuck ups in the film. Like you could see Judi Dench's watch or whatever.
Are you serious?
And like her shoes. That's,
yeah, like,
I gotta
oh
say that's her fault. Because like, why are you wearing a watch?
Well, she's only got 5 minutes left to live. She's counting down the minutes.
No, because also you're told they're only going to capture your face. Everything else is going to be brushed out. And they didn't. So like there was a ton of errors. Like so I would want to go to see that version.
You saw Game of Thrones already
but
this
now,
year. You don't need.
Right, but now they've allegedly fixed it. So what's the point?
Get it? It's cats and they fixed it.
Oh.
I can't believe Idris Elba is in that movie.
Yeah. Well, what CGI is there? Like, they're in cat costumes.
They
no.
edited out all of the actors' dignity.
Oh, yeah.
They're not. The cat bodies are all CG. They're not costumes.
Didn't they
or
cut
I think
out,
happening.
Like, their wieners? Isn't that what you
there
meant?
Was
I
no,
thought that's what you originally meant.
There were no private parts. Yeah, none of the cats
yeah.
had private parts.
So they CGI'd that out.
Do you think there's people who are like, when they heard that, that was the deal breaker to go to see the movie? It's like, oh, if I can't see actual cat vagina in there.
Yes.
If Taylor Swift's cat is not anatomically correct, I'm staying the fuck home. Fuck that.
Oh, she's in that piece of shit, too.
Yes, her and Idris Elba. Jason Derulo.
James Corden.
James
Corden. I can't believe that.
That was another Gervais joke when he called, what he called him,
fat
pussy.
Fat pussy.
Yeah.
Well,
and also, he was a
Dench. Huh?
Yeah, he said that she did someone.
She
about
likes
licking her pussy.
Eating her own ass or
yeah.
pussy or something.
Yeah, that was great.
And he made a pubic hair joke about her.
Yeah, furball. Yeah, that's right. Yes. She wasn't there.
Oh, stop. Let's go on with it. Oh, they're just jokes. Just like when I said trans women are men. What's the big deal?
Well, that isn't a joke. He means that.
Yeah, I mean it, but it's still a joke. I'm Ricky Gervais. It's my last time doing stand-up. I could say whatever I want.
Oh, is this the last time doing stand-up
yes.
altogether?
Yes.
I have
Dude.
To say,
I don't care.
I've seen him do stand-up. He did like he had a show for Sirius, and he did a show with like it was Jim Norton, Ron Bennington, mm-hmm. and Ricky, and his stand-up was so funny.
What
there were
think?
So many dead baby jokes. It was, I can't retell his jokes, but I thought it was some of the best stand-up I'd ever seen.
I
so
see him do
I
stand-up a couple of times back, like 10 years ago, give or take. Mm-hmm. It was not flawless. It was good. I enjoyed it, but there was definitely parts where I was just like, really? 20 minutes on fat people?
I mean, I don't care. It's my last time.
Yeah.
It's serious.
It's a little. It's a lot of edgelording.
He did a bit, and I'm an atheist, by the way, and he's Mr. Atheist.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he did a bit where he just stands there and he literally just read the Bible and like shook his head and was like, "Yeah, you're like, isn't that a stupid verse?"
Yeah.
And I'm like, "That's not a joke."
Yeah.
I'm with you, buddy. Like, I think the Bible's stupid too, but
I don't need to pay to see you read it at me.
What the fuck?
No.
Write some jokes about Noah's Ark, for fuck's sake.
What does Noah have to do with this?
No, not that.
Oh,
different Noah.
The real Noah.
I'll do 20 minutes on her, too.
Oh,
I don't care.
Do 20 minutes all over her.
My last time here. My last time on the live cast.
Oh, no. Ricky, come back.
I mean it.
Extras was really good. Come on. He don't hate you.
Didn't he have another show where he just, like, insulted his buddy there? Like, what's his name?
Oh,
Carl
Idiot Abroad?
Yeah, but he's
that
not really on that.
Show.
He just sent him, Carl, on trips. But then there was also Life's Too Short. With Warwick
that.
Davis,
mm-hmm.
which was a series where Warwick Davis plays like a loserish version of himself,
mm-hmm.
and it's just two seasons of like midget jokes.
Okay.
So it was basically Ricky Gervais like, oh, I know this little person actor. I'll put him in a show, but I get to just goof on his height the whole time.
Nice guy.
And Warwick Davis was cool with it.
It's my last series. I don't care anymore.
That was the last thing of his that I watched.
This is the last time Sid's going to watch me do anything.
He also had that show, Derek.
Where he pretended to be like a Down syndrome person or something.
Which, yeah, I didn't watch that.
I identify as a Down syndrome person.
All right.
If the money is right.
Can I get some breaking news?
Oh.
Oh, what happened? Oh, let's find out.
This is important. This is live reporting Tuesday night. Legitimate breaking news. Iran launches missiles at U.S. military facilities in Iraq, according to a U.S. official.
Cool.
Well, it's nice
and the Pentagon has confirmed. This is our last month on the planet. We can say whatever we want.
Anymore, isn't
it? Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I don't care.
None of us can.
Nuclear war.
We're all going to die. So that's happening. They just don't give a fuck, by the way. Iran is like, oh, you know, we're supposed to be scared of you? Fuck you. Did you see that they restarted their uranium enrichment production?
I did not.
Which they, I don't know why they didn't up until this point. I mean, wouldn't you? Look at North Korea. North Korea, like, you know, they tell the U.S. to fuck off and the U.S. doesn't do anything. Why? Because they have fucking nukes.
Yeah.
Iran doesn't.
I mean, I bet Iran had already started it sooner, but now they're like, oh, now we can just be honest about it because everybody will understand. Like, half the world won't even be mad at us for doing it because of the shit that's going on. So let's just say it.
Sure. I believe that. I'm sure our president will offer smart and measured response.
We always get into such like a depressing conversation.
The world is ending. It's
depressing. But I don't do this podcast to talk about the end of the world.
Okay. What should we talk about?
I don't enjoy it. Wow. I don't know, but it's annoying. We have other things to talk about.
Okay. Lead the way.
No, I don't want to. Don't put me on the spot like that.
Well, you're the one changing the subject, so go for it. Like, what are we talking about then?
I mean.
What else do we have to talk about?
Nothing.
Oh, let's talk about. Let's.
Or
we do have hate mail.
Is it political?
Please don't be political. It's not political.
Is it Julian Castro?
Dear Livecast, I dropped out of the presidential race.
We had that news first, and we just did the show started too late. God damn it.
So we got hate mail. We got a question about Jewish holiday food, actually, and about my Montreal trip. Let's start with the holiday food.
Okay.
Hey, guys. This is Andrew from Colorado. I have a question about Jewish dishes during the holidays. I watched a video on YouTube where Jewish mothers tried each other's brisket. said, wait, is this a lesbian thing? They all said it was a holiday tradition to have brisket for a big family meal. Do you have any experience with this tradition? I always associate brisket with barbecue and made on a smoker, but these dishes were all oven roasts with gravy-like sauce. Love the show and look forward to listening every week for the past 6 years.
Oh,
thanks. Thank you, Andrew. To quickly answer, brisket is a part of Jewish culture. It's if you go to Jewish delis, you would get brisket or pastrami or whatever.
Brisket, pastrami, corned beef is the triumvirate of the top of Jewish meats.
With that said, my family, I did not grow up in a brisket household.
Never had the Jewish version.
Yeah. I had it in a sense that we'd get it from a store. My grandmother, my mother didn't.
Right, like my mom would never make it. I mean,
right, same.
Noah?
We didn't have brisket in my house. I think it was like too expensive to make. And also, it wasn't the kind of Jewish food that my mom would make. She'd make more like Romanian food, which was like more Eastern European.
Like what?
Like
what would be a holiday dish?
We didn't celebrate holidays.
Any holidays?
No.
No Seders?
No.
Thanksgiving?
We did Seders or like holidays at my aunt's house, but she cooked Lebanese food, which was delicious.
Mm. We have a caller, a New York caller, called 213 Wide Nut. That's the phone number. You're on the line, 646. What's your name? You're gone.
God damn, Rob.
Just dropped.
Maybe you need to be like more like secretarial when you answer the phone. They like get frightened.
646, you're on the line. I do enjoy a nice steamed brisket.
I've never had.
It's okay.
It's a little dry, I guess.
It could be dry, it could be moist, but I feel like it's not as doesn't have the taste that corned beef has. It's a little just like unseasoned compared to those other kind of meats.
Yeah, I guess my mom would make steamed. I'm trying to think maybe like a prime rib she would do is steamed kind of more in like a big pot with like vegetables and it would be like its own like a little stew, but not like sandwichy.
Yeah, I'm not really a fan of brisket or like pastrami and stuff. Like at Cats, when they give you the pastrami sandwich, it's always like little tiny bread and a whole bunch of pastrami in the middle. It's too much.
Well, that's because they charge you $20. Yeah. So they have to kind of rationalize that.
You don't have to.
Right, but they want to. They need to make the margin. So they give you like over a half a pound of meat to kind of be like, well, you're paying for it.
That's what you're paying for.
That's a very Jewish thing. I feel like they always charge you a shit ton of money, but you get a lot of food.
I've still never had it.
Cat? When I went to...
all right.
Have you had any Jewish deli in your
Sure.
Second Avenue deli?
I don't remember, but
Carnegie
not
deli?
That one.
Carnegie's gone, by the way.
Yeah.
I missed the old New York.
I do.
Carnegie Deli had the best cake. It had the best Brooklyn... not Brooklyn... Where are the chocolate cakes with the cherry ganache in the middle
just,
and like cream?
Black Forest?
Black Forest. Thank you. Oh, so good. It was better than the pastrami sandwich. It was like when I was going to Carnegie, I'm like, oh, I have to get a slice of this Black Forest.
Why were you going to Carnegie Deli so much?
Just if there was like a show in the area, or sometimes I would just, if I was in Manhattan.
Wait, would you go after or before the show? Load up
after.
On cake?
After. So they're open, it's like open till 5 in the morning.
Just
before and
like
after.
Going before having a pastrami sandwich and a giant slice of cake.
And then having it all sit in my stomach in the mosh pit.
Shitting through the whole concert.
At Terminal 5. He's at the concert eating the cake. It's in his hands. He's double fisting.
Yeah, I take it to go and I eat the cake as the band is for
pastrami
these,
in one hand.
Oh, that would be well, that would be wonderful. That would really... And like people looking over and be like, is that Rob from Metal Injection? And then seeing you cram the cake in your face. Yeah, that's Rob from Metal Injection. I don't need to ask. They just stay where they are. Maybe you can do this going forward. Just bring cake with you to every concert.
I feel like they probably take it away at the door, though, those bastards.
Well, then that's
guys.
An excuse to cram it in your face right before you go in. Speed eating.
You can hide it in your cheeks.
Like a squirrel.
Yeah.
You could bribe the guy at the door. Maybe he'll let you bring your weed in if you offer him a piece of cake. Hey.
I mean, I'm going to sneak the weed, and I already have my weed technique down. That's fine.
What if the cake
is too big?
Weed? You sneak it in the cake, like a nail file to a prisoner.
Well, I did once have a weed cake for the Big Four. I think I must have talked about this on the show. How
when you turned four?
No, the Big Four concert at the Great Yankee Stadium.
Oh.
It was that year for my birthday, somebody baked me a pot cake, and I had a lot of it left over because, you know, you can't really gorge on a fucking
pot cake. I feel like you could.
You can't. You won't have a good time. So I brought like three big slices and it was myself. And so I was in the press room. So I guess the security was like, it was fine. Like they didn't, I had to go through a metal detector, but they didn't look through my bag. So I was able to sneak in these weed cake slices. Which now, in retrospect, sounds absurd that
yes.
I got arrested that day, by the way. I wasn't even with you.
You were having a caramel ice cream cake and somebody just...
Up against the wall!
What did I do?
Myself, Axel Rosenberg, and Vince Neilson and Metal Sucks and Atheist. Pot cakes, and like by the time Metallica came on, it was hitting us hard. And also like, it was weird because the screen had the, like, it was essentially like a live edited version of the concert happening, but there was a 2-second delay, but I was so high that there wasn't a delay. It felt like I was watching it in real life.
Real life was on the same delay as the screen was.
Yeah,
it was intense. All right. That said, we have another piece of hate mail from Terrence. Hey, Rob, I don't know if you're interested, but I'd like to follow up on your Montreal experience, pronounced Montreal for us Anglophones. I like to say Montreal.
Yeah, Montreal.
Noah was pretty bang on with her Montreal cultural inside scoop.
Good.
All-dressed steamies, which includes coleslaw, mustard, and onions, is by far the most popular style of hot dog served. In Montreal, there are strict street food laws, and it's actually illegal to sell street food if you don't own a restaurant with a proper address. And it's completely illegal to sell street food outside in the summertime.
Why?
Some people.
It goes bad, I guess. Quicker.
Probably an energy nuisance. Gotta have those generators
on.
People selling ballpark franks are basically non-existent. Yeah, I didn't even. I guess I did see like fast food hot dog spots. Should have got a steamy.
I wish I knew about steamies when I went there.
Terrence adds, we do call joints bats.
I've heard that here, too.
I never heard that.
I heard them called
a
roll
bat. A bat is
I've
a one-hitter
that.
Here.
Yeah.
Like that's how it, those like cigarette. Those look like cigarettes.
I thought it was
those
a joint.
Bat.
That wasn't what I heard. I just heard it as a like a synonymous
like a
for joints.
Yeah.
A joint.
I've never heard that. But he says weed is legal countrywide, but sold only by the government in Quebec. So Quebec, which is interesting, though, because he says private companies could sell in other provinces. In Quebec, though, when I looked on Weed Maps, which is essentially Weed Yelp,
mm-hmm.
bless their heart, while there was only that one storefront, there was a ton of delivery services. But with the delivery services, you had to kind of prove your age, too. You had to send them a photo of your ID.
You send them a dick pic.
You send them a photo of your ID to prove your age. So
by the way, on Weed, what is it? Weed Maps?
Weed Maps.
Everyone's into sharing.
Yeah, very much into that kind of sharing. Edibles and oils, he says, are still illegal in Quebec. They did have a like weed pill that you could buy, which is instead of an edible, it was like it looked like an Advil, but it was like 25 milligrams of sativa.
All
right. The email goes on about the churches. Mark Twain once said about Montreal that you can't throw a rock without breaking a stained glass window.
That's what the U.S. just did to Iran, I heard.
But
all the cultural
a
things.
Lot of them are getting turned into condos and concert venues. Ooh.
The churches?
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. There's so many. He says the best black metal festival in Canada, La Maison des Morts, is hosted in a church. P.S. Hockey tickets are on me next time Sid or Darren come to town.
Wow.
Oh, so if I come to town, you won't get me hockey tickets?
Would
town?
You go?
He knows what you're into, Rob.
For free, man.
Un chasseur, chasseur, sans son machine, est un bon chasseur, qui fait sa chair, sa chasseur.
Everything is like sa chair, and then he gets throws that key, the key fi in there.
That's,
the
probably
key that's,
what
I was, I, that's what it said.
Are you reading that?
Yeah.
No, you weren't.
I think he was, but I don't remember what
something.
It was.
I thought you were like doing fake French. Just off the top of
no,
my
head.
I was definitely reading
something. It for that long if it was just off the dome.
Yeah.
I would love to know what you were reading.
I would as well.
Does anyone remember that show?
We need a French-speaking listener to try to translate what he was saying. That's the key to unlocking this mystery. Got to be someone.
Let us know if you remember where that episode.
You should have, when you were in Montreal, you should have played that recording.
Chasseur! Chasseur!
Could you please translate? Aren't there apps that like translate like people talking? Can you play that through like one of those apps and see what you were saying? Do it, Rob. You're technological.
No.
God damn
it. He'd have to be saying it more or less right, though.
Yeah. A computer can only do so much.
Well, you could still try. Maybe get a couple of words and we'll clue you in.
Sacher.
Chassoussets. Come on, that's got to mean something.
It's the French word for Massachusetts.
Oh, my God.
All the words sound the same. That's what I don't get. How can it be a real sentence?
Because it was Rob saying.
How dare you?
Oh, boy.
Un chasseur, 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 sans son machine, est un bon chasseur.
Qui fait?
Qui fait? Chasseur, chasseur.
Well, I understood the word bon. That means good.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was a good chasseur.
Yeah.
He's going to find out what a chasseur is that we haven't figured out.
Oh, man. Someone has to really try to translate that.
I love the fact that we've been playing that drop for like a decade, and this is the first time we've talked about key five.
Yeah, I never noticed
that
it.
Is.
I'm too. I
again?
Think we hear "sacher, sacher," and then we start laughing.
Yeah.
Un chasseur, 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 sans son machine, est un bon chasseur, qui fait
Rob, get on your Cameo account and have Rebecca Moore reenact that clip. Can we do that?
We'd have to spell it out phonetically.
Sexually? Just give her the audio and have her try to interpret.
You do say key five very sexually.
Yes.
Key five.
Yeah, key five destroyer.
It's just in. Rob, very sexy when he says key five.
Maybe those are like the Iranian launch codes. He actually triggered this whole thing, Robert.
You're saying I did this?
Yes.
10 years.
By accident. Yeah.
You're not saying he's a sleeper agent.
No, no. I don't know who sent him that text.
Oh, come on.
Maybe the text was coming from inside the house.
Chasseur,
oh, no.
We're getting the missive now. He says, key five? They speak French?
That was a code, Rob.
Yeah. Oh, very intricate.
I wonder if you play it backwards, if it'll have like some kind of... It'll
well, actually, I want to say.
Can we do that?
Yeah, hold on. I reversed it. Oh, wow.
Kifai,
yes, Kifai, oh, yes.
I'm hearing impaired in one chest.
Stop making Kifai jokes, first of all.
Wow.
Slow motion shoes, hey.
Shiva Bonbon.
No. Any more hate mail? Was that the end of that one?
No, that was it.
Were there any more Montreal facts?
That was it.
Use your microphone.
That was all the hate mail.
Oh.
Okay. Wait, let me see. Maybe there's like last week that one of those hate mail came in during the show.
Yeah, boo. Slow-mo Trina.
And we'd love to hear from you. All you got to do is email hatemail@metalinjection.net. And we will most likely read your email on the air, unless you ask us not to. We've gotten a bunch of lovely letters from people that wrote very, very sweet things and asked us not to share it.
And we ignore them and do it anyway.
No.
We just share them amongst each other.
Yes, we do that.
What about voicemails? Can people still leave voicemails?
People can still leave voicemails on our page, the Speak Pipe widget.
Squeak wipe.
Scroll down a little bit. And we also, of course, as we mentioned, we're on Patreon. And, you know, you could be a top livecast fan in there. You know, if you want to get our bonus episodes, we do at least one bonus episode a month. That's $5 a month. And if you want to give us a little extra loving, you want to show that you're a top livecast fan, it's $10 a month. And every episode, we will give our top livecast fans a bit of a shout out. And so I believe it's the time of the show where we got to do a few shout-outs. So if you allow me, I'd like to play a little bit of music.
Okay, here are Patreon shout-outs. The one and only Rob, with two Bs. Eric, Robert Ganoush, a.k.a. Justin, with an I. Des Benjamin, L. Deuterino, Cynical Sid, Cynic Cynicism. Then there's Justin with an E. Cattle Decaf, with an F. Mindy Mayer's Kippa, as you all know. That is a Jewish headgear for religious purposes. And Treon. Those are our Patreon shoutouts for the week. We love all of our Patreon members. And we love all of our audience. Thank you very, very much.
And I wonder in Montreal, would it be Le Deuterino?
Le Big Mac? They call it a Deuterino Royale with cheese.
Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome. You know, it's been a while.
Yeah.
While I contemplate my dinner, I want to thank you for listening. We'll be back next week, and same time, which is Tuesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern. Sorry, 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 3:30 Pacific time. Tuesdays, 6:30 p.m. Eastern. Eastern, 3:30 Pacific.
After work or after school.
We hope you join us on demand on all your favorite podcasting apps, including Spotify. And until then, I'll leave you with this.
Dirty dick.
I already have a fear. I figured myself recently.
Dirty duty.
I put on women's clothing.
No, I'm a gaping asshole.
Fuck it. I am over pop. My ass is gorgeous.
This is the end of the show.